DiscerningHearts.com presents Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. Monsignor Essef is a priest of the Diocese of Scranton, Pennsylvania. He has served as a retreat director and confessor to St. Teresa of Calcutta. He continues to offer direction and retreats for the Sisters of the Missionaries of Charity. Monsignor Essef encountered St. Padre Pio, who would become a spiritual father to him. He has lived in areas around the world, serving in the Pontifical Missions, a Catholic organization established by Pope St. John Paul II to bring the good news to the world, especially to the poor. He continues to serve as a retreat leader and director to bishops, priests, and sisters, seminarians, and other religious leaders. Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. Paray-le-Monial is a small provincial French community nestled in eastern France. It is the site for the first Sacred Heart World Congress. Participants from around the world include religious, laity, and priests. Why do they gather here? Because in this place, an extraordinary event occurred. And the message of that happening was communicated to the entire church by two very remarkable and yet extremely humble saints, St. Margaret Mary, St. Claude de Colombier. What was that message? Jesus revealed his Sacred Heart as a symbol of his love for mankind, saying, "My divine heart is so inflamed with love for mankind that it can no longer contain within itself the flames of its burning charity and must spread them abroad." St. Margaret Mary would describe that his heart was on fire and surrounded by a crown of thorns. Our Lord told her that the flames represented his love for humanity and the thorns represented man's sinfulness and ingratitude. Jesus informed her that her mission was to establish the devotion to his most sacred heart, and he revealed 12 promises that he would bestow upon all those who practice the devotion. She had three more visions over the next year and a half in which Jesus instructed her in a devotion that was to become known as the Nine Fridays. Christ also inspired Margaret Mary to establish the Holy Hour and to receive Holy Communion on the first Friday of every month. In the final revelation, the Lord asked that a feast of reparation be instituted for the Friday after the octave of Corpus Christi. Blessed Claude de Colombier, a holy and experienced Jesuit, arrived as a confessor to the nuns. He became convinced that her experiences were genuine and adopted the teaching of the Sacred Heart that the visions had communicated to her. Pope John Paul the Great has said that, "Always keep your eyes on the Sacred Heart of Jesus, King and center of all hearts. From him you will learn the great lesson of love, goodness, of sacrifice, of pity, so necessary for every Christian family. From him you will obtain strength, serenity, authentic and profound happiness for your married life. You will draw down his blessings if the image of his heart, besides being impressed on your mind, is always exposed and honored on the wall of your home." In the Basilica of the Sacred Heart, on a beautiful fall day, I had the opportunity to ask Monsignor to tell us about what exactly enthronement of the Sacred Heart really means. We now begin our special conversation with Monsignor John Essef. Monsignor, could you talk to those who could not be here in Paray-le-Monial, but their hearts are here. There was a desire to come, but they could not be here themselves. But they do feel called to spread the word.
I think, you know, I just hear in my heart what you're saying. That is the people of the Philippines. When I walked the streets of the Philippines, and when I was there at Tagaytay, when I was there in Manila, I just felt more of the Sacred Heart in the Philippines. When I heard the devotion of the people there. when I hear now of the devotion in the hearts of people all over the United States, from Texas to California to Utah, or wherever you may be, if you're listening to this program, that here we are, right behind me is the image of the Sacred Heart. And there's candles here that are off to his honor. And here in this magnificent basilica, and here where Jesus appeared to St. Margaret Mary, bursting with love out of the Blessed Sacrament, that same Jesus is with you. And when I'm asked about what is the enthronement of the Sacred Heart, I'd like to just start with that. It's very simple. Because I've had it all my life, I get used to the words. But the words have a meaning. They're so deep. And the words want to penetrate into your heart and into the hearts of everyone that is listening. The people who approached Jesus in his lifetime, like his apostles, James and John, he wanted to be their king. And he wanted to reign as their king. And he wanted them to enthrone him as their king. But as he came into their lives, and as he came into their world, their mentality was so earthy that it took them the longest time. And I'd like to just spend a few moments. He spent years with them, and they just never got it. How we are so tuned to this world. So when James and John, the sons of Zebedee, see Jesus, it takes them a while. Here he is, a humble carpenter, but there's something emerging. And finally, as it emerges, one of their disciples that are with them, Peter, says, "There's something different about you. You heal the sick. You have all this power. You drive out demons. You have this miraculous power. But there's something so different about you." And then he says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" Well, John the Baptist that's returning, because by that time John was beheaded, or one of the prophets. Now Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of God." Wow. Now Peter's saying this. Now what does it mean when he says, "You are the Christ"? That means you are the King. You are the one who is anointed. You are the Messiah. Mashiach is the anointed one. Jesus was in the line of kings. So what were they talking about? What did they understand about what they were saying in the world in which they came from? Well, Saul was a king, and the prophet Samuel poured oil on the king, and he was recognized as the king of Israel. Oh, that kingship. And then this little shepherd, after Saul was passed on from his kingship, and now David is anointed the king, the Messiah, the anointed one, the king. And then David was told, one of you will become king, and he will reign forever. That's what they were telling Jesus. You are that son of David. Jesus didn't want to have that title too much, because it got them into this earthly kingship, because Solomon was also a king. And they thought he was in this line of David, Solomon. Now you are this great king. And Jesus, he could see, he knew they didn't get it. No. And he kept refusing this title of Messiah until Palm Sunday. Okay, you want me to be a king, and I've tried to tell you, I'm not that kind of king. And so he steps up and he said, okay, let me sit on this donkey, this young ass, and let me ride into Jerusalem. Hail the King of the Jews. Hail the King, the Messiah. Now you're going to free Israel from the Romans. Now you're going to have an army. And now we enthrone you. And they throw the palm down. If only Catholic Christians and Christians all over the world would know what that meant. He was hailed as a king, but an earthly king. And now his days are numbered because he knows the kind of kingship he has. 5 days later, they're going to kill him. Just 5 days, from Sunday until Friday morning, he faces Pilate because they bring these accusations against him. He wants to take and throw off the head now. And who is that? It's the Roman emperor. He's setting himself up against the Roman emperor. And Jesus says in front of Pilate, they have this trumped up charge. They know, that is the Jews, the head of the synagogue, the chief priest knows of his true title, the Son of God. That's who I am. That's when he ripped his garments. But they, in order to get him killed, they have to get a charge against him. Who does he say he is? He says he's a king. And his kingship is what is challenging Caesar. So now they can get Pilate to execute him because they didn't have the power of capital punishment. Capital punishment was in the hands of the Romans. And Jesus kept predicting, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. And it does. Now the Romans can come and execute Jesus for his crime. And what's his crime? On every crucifix you'll see written, I-N-R-I. Jesus Nazarenus Rex Iudaeorum. That's in Latin and in Greek and in Hebrew. That is why they killed him. Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. And so he stands before Pilate and he said, are you a king? And Jesus now comes to the truth. Yes, I am a king. For this was I born into the world. But my kingship is not of this world. My kingship is a kingship of truth. And so Pilate then says, what is truth? And Jesus is the truth. And he knows Pilate doesn't want to hear any more from him. He's going to kill him. The synagogue leaders, the chief priests and the elders want to kill him because he says who he is, the Son of God. And so that day, that Friday, they executed the Son of God. They killed the Son of God. And he, because he is the Son of God, rose from the dead. Jesus now is king. He suffers, he dies, and he rises. On Calvary, Jesus' heart is pierced with a lance, and out of it flows blood and water. That water is flowing now throughout the whole world. Now, what is the enthronement of the Sacred Heart? The enthronement of the Sacred Heart is the water that poured forth from the side of Christ goes out into the world, and it now brings those first 3,000 into the church. They now are in Jesus' heart. Jesus, through the water, unites his heart with the heart of those first Christians of the first century. They have enthroned Jesus in their hearts. Now Christ is the king of the heart of those early Christians. Christ is the king of Peter and James and John and all those apostles. Now they get the true kingship. And so from the time of the first century, the first millennium, when he, in the hearts of his apostles, reigned like a fire throughout the world, the kingship of Jesus Christ now is come into the world. And what is that? The kingdom God, the Trinity, now dwells in your hearts. When Jesus tells those who are going to kill him, you're going to kill me, and you're going to destroy this temple, but in 3 days I'll raise it up. He was talking not about the temple in Israel, which then became destroyed, but the temple of his body. They destroyed his physical body, and his body was raised up in 3 days. Jesus suffered and died and rose. That same Jesus now, when we enthrone him, every person who wants the enthronement of the Sacred Heart enters into his or her own heart and places Jesus on the throne. The throne of God is in your heart. The enthronement of the Sacred Heart is he in you becomes the king of your heart. Your self, your ego, gets dethroned. The devil gets dethroned. And the king, Jesus, now reigns in the heart of every Christian. It comes there through baptism. It gets stronger and more powerful there through confirmation, and always is fed by the Eucharist. So the kingship is when I continue to enthrone him as king of my heart. Now, if you're listening in Utah or California or in the Philippines or wherever you are in the world, is he the king first of your heart? So his heart is united with your heart. There is a false you. That's the one that Paul kept talking about, the false I. This false I, this false ego, wants to take over the kingship. But I, as Paul said, I live, no, not I, but Christ lives in me. So the radiance of that power is in every baptized Christian. So when we come here to Paralimonial, that's exactly what Jesus came out of the tabernacle to tell Margaret Mary. I am in you, Margaret Mary. I am in you. You are in me. It is I in you and you in me that is going to bring about the reign of my Sacred Heart in the world. And how do you know that I'm in you, Margaret? Because I am like a fire that can never be quenched. I am like a power that can never be destroyed. Now, what comes against Margaret Mary is all the kinds of powers in this world against her. And she goes through so much suffering, so much pain. And that pain and suffering through Margaret Mary and in Margaret Mary becomes Jesus in her. And so she suffers, as anyone united with Christ suffers. She dies and she rises. Here, all this time later, she's become the sign of Christ's presence here. Now, do you want to do the same thing? Do you want Jesus to reign in your heart? Okay, that begins with you, in you, and through you. Every person who wants to have the enthronement of the Sacred Heart first has to be dethroned. You dethrone your own ego, and you enthrone Jesus. The enthronement of the Sacred Heart is not taking and hanging a picture. When you hang the picture, what you're doing is signifying, I have done this work in my heart. He is in my heart, and I am letting you know out here in the world. So the father of this family takes and hangs this image of Jesus in his home. The mother hangs this image of Jesus. In that mother and in that father are the heart of Jesus, burning already, through their baptism, through their confirmation, through their marriage union. Now this enthroned couple have their children. now they are sent. Go therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. And that's what the parents do, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them what I have commanded you, teaching them, catechizing them, and going forth from first this home, now this diocese, now this state, wherever you are. So Utah, Texas, California, Pennsylvania, and we're all doing this in the whole world. And this is what's happening this time here in Paralimonial. We have invited people in this first World Congress to come here. And who are they going to enthrone? First in their own hearts. But the greatest thing that I found here are people who have done that work. I see Jesus in them, like I see Jesus in you, Chris, that Jesus is reigning there. So that power of Jesus can never be overcome. There's no power in the world because it's a power of love. So the conquest is there for us now, and there's nothing and no place where this can't go. This is going to go all over the world. The enthronement of the Sacred Heart from heart to heart, cor ad cor, from family to family, from nation to nation. Everyone in this world wants that peace. Everyone in this world wants that joy, wants that truth, wants that love. He is the King of love. He is the King of joy, the King of truth, the King of peace. The misery, the suffering, the violence and all that, every Muslim in this world, or if you're hearing it and you're coming from an Islamic nation, supposing this broadcast is going there into Saudi Arabia, and you're hearing this, deep in your heart, you want this love. And he, the King of love, wants to put it first in your heart. Open your heart. He wants to come into your heart. And it takes a while, like it did with James and John and Peter. But if you could say, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, that's an act of faith. Open the door. Even now, as you hear this, you are Jesus. Come into my heart. I invite you in. He will come. Just all you have to do is invite him. He so wants to come in and reign as King of your heart. And you'll begin to experience all the fruits that only he can bring. There is no other King of love. There isn't. He's the only one. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Mary. He is your Savior. He is Jesus. And he will reign. If you're listening to this in China, and you're hearing this little explanation of the enthronement of the Sacred Heart, you, all you have to do is open your heart. He is there, already there. The King and the Lord of Lords is with you right now, in your heart, waiting for you. If you were just turned one way, see, that's what the ego does. I'm going to go and search for love in my life the way I want to find it. And then listen to the voice, because it's already there. He is there. He is the Lord. He created you. He made you. He made you for love. And his voice is there. Conversion, which is a very powerful word. Converse means just to turn around. Listen to his voice. Turn around. He's right there. He's right there with you and wants to come into your heart. There's a very beautiful picture of Jesus, the Savior. And he's standing at a door. And the painter had the door in such a way that there's no way on the outside he can get in. Because in this picture, the door is the heart, the human heart. And all you have to do is open from the inside. And once you open, he will come in. That's what he said. I will come in with my Father and the Spirit, and we will sit, and we will have supper with you, and the enthronement will take place. Just like that. He will teach you. He will teach you. And you will eventually be baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And he will teach you all things that his apostles and disciples have shared with him. And you will find a home with him. He wants to come to be enthroned in your heart. He wants to become the king of your heart, the king of your family, the king of your whole world.
You've been listening to Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef. To hear and or to download this conversation, along with hundreds of other spiritual formation programs, visit discerninghearts.com, or you can find it within the free Discerning Hearts app. This has been a production of Discerning Hearts. I'm your host, Chris McGregor. We hope that if this has been helpful for you, that you will first pray for our mission, which is to offer rock-solid and authentic spiritual formation freely to souls around the world. And if you feel us worthy, consider a charitable donation, which is fully tax-deductible, to help support our efforts. But most of all, we hope that you will tell a friend about discerninghearts.com and join us next time for Building a Kingdom of Love, Reflections with Monsignor John Essef.